I would be scared, legit scared, if somebody who I was like married to really was able to know everything. And what I mean by that, it's gonna be some days that I despise her. I already know that's gonna happen. But that's not gonna be as prevalent as the days where I'm like, I'm thankful that you was patient with me.
Welcome to Corners and Conversations by Just Contributor Support. Our mission is to provide you with some form of mentorship, guidance, and resources. The purpose of this podcast is to expose you to different perspectives, experiences, and ideas. Stay tuned.
What's something about the modern day world that bothers you, and what's something about it that brings you joy?
As far as the modern day, I believe I was born the wrong generation, and I will always say that for a while. I'm an advocate for technology, but through technology, a lot of social interactions have become less organic, or less, I want to say less innocent for some reason, but less organic. Because when you look at the 50s, the 40s, the 30s, that was rooted in having discussions with people, even during an era where, you know, culturally or societal norms was questionable, right? They're talking about racism and all that. But even during those times of questionable moments or stressful moments, you didn't have to question who was who in the neighborhood. Communicating with people, somebody who don't communicate with people was a bigger concern compared to those who were communicative. You know, you're not on the door, nobody's at home, so you have to go to your next door neighbor. Like the level of proxy parenting, proxy siblings, you know, somebody you will call cousin, but they are not the mother or the dad's family tree, but that's your cousin. Someone who's not your biological aunt, but that's your aunt. The family friends was a very integral part of keeping things moving in the right path. When mom and dad wasn't getting along, that's what the godmother or godfather was for. Go over there for a little while until they try to figure things out. You know, in the modern society, it looks as if I don't know how to function, because I would rather operate in historic systems in terms of family dynamics, in terms of interacting in society. For some people, the weirdest thing for them is me walking up to them having a conversation. They're used to a medium or a third party, which is a device. They would talk to somebody all day, but when we say where we meet up in person, that's anxiety inducing. When did it get to the point where somebody's scared to meet somebody in person? Either they're thinking the worst of the worst case scenario, or it becomes, I don't think this person will accept me in person that they do on this device.
Yeah. It has came to that point, because now it's like when people get on these apps and they start talking on these apps and they post these pictures, and then you meet this person in person and it's like, okay, they got makeup on in these pictures. And I feel like a lot of people should post pictures without it. But at the same time, you can't say no one's catfished, because they...
Right. The filters are built in. The normal filters are filters.
But it's like, okay, is in today's world, it's not even about who you are on the inside. It's how you look on the outside.
Right. Now, the response, it answered both sides of it. So in terms of today's modern society that I love, technology has helped me in so many ways. Right. But the flip side of that is understanding the cost of that is there's less. Back then, parents had to be equipped with the knowledge, or somebody in the community had to be equipped with the knowledge for you to receive it. So let's say in a form of storytelling, in a form of apprenticeships. So even children who were very young was learning trades through other people within a community. Right. That was an established thing. Or when you know, somebody in the neighborhood noticed that, hey, this person really has a gift. They're great because of their athleticism, or this person is great because of their voice. This person is great because of their intellect. There was always a don't go down this path, because the gifts that you was blessed with could get you so much greater than what your family is currently at in terms of their achievements.
And I wish it was still like that, because today nobody wants the next to succeed. It's a competition.
Right. But it seems as if people are convinced for somebody to get something in abundance, it means that they have less resources.
Yeah, because it could be, see me, I don't know, everybody's not like me, but at the same time, I feel like, well, honestly, you know, I feel like I want to help the younger generation. They're so misguided. Mm-hmm. They don't have the knowledge of everything. And it's like, it's disappointing to know my kids are going to be a part of a generation.
Mm-hmm.
But they're reading past some of these kids that are in middle school.
Correct.
And it's sad. And it's like, if it's sad to the point where we're all in this mindset of, I don't want this person to get ahead of me, so I'm not supporting them, or this, that, and the third. And it's like, that's weird. Like, y'all, I don't see any other race, and I'm gonna be honest, I don't see any other race working against each other except for my own people.
Right.
And I've noticed it. I've noticed it far as once this person starts selling stuff, I don't care if we had bad blood or not. If it's something I need, I'm gonna support you. I don't care. Like, that's stuff that happened years ago. Why am I still holding on to that? And we ain't got to talk. It's a business transaction. Thank you. Like, and at the same time, we look for those in our circle to support us. And
ooh, I'm not going to lie. We'd be the most deprived.
I mean, I would feel some type of way when, you know, I don't get the same support that I give out. And it's like, you know what? It's fine. Like, those who support themselves more tends to reach those that we don't even know.
Hmm.
Like,
random topic, while on the point, have you ever not been with somebody because they was not of your culture?
No. You think it's an issue if we don't date our own people?
I'm dating my people. Not that it's an issue. I know I'm dating my people, okay? No matter how stubborn she is, me and her gonna date. They're gonna be of the African-American descent. I did the research, so Dominican Republic, holla at your boy, boy. But the point is, she gonna be black. Now, well, people who Dominican don't identify as black, they don't even like that term. But on the outside looking in, guess what everybody else is going to say? Black. Yeah. Who that baby is? That's a black baby. Who your daddy is? Oh, he black, black. His mama? Well, kind of. His daddy? That black. Yeah. That's a conscious decision that I've made. Because when I think of my upbringing, my mother, she's like always top tier. In terms of characteristics, in terms of how she conduct herself, it's not that I want somebody to be like my mother. Let's get that clear.
No, but I get it.
That she serves as a great baseline of what a woman who is focused, who understands what it is, and it's not being prideful of the sacrifices, but understanding what part she pay and play in making sacrifices for the greater good. Oh, I used to think my mama was racist because I would say, what happens if I bring home a Mexican woman? What happens if I bring home a white woman? What happens if I bring home an Asian woman? And you know what my mother would always ask? What's wrong with a black woman? She didn't argue. She didn't fuss. She just said, what's wrong with a black woman? And so as I, you know, got older, it's like, you know what? But there's nothing wrong with a black woman. Why am I such an advocate to looking out for people? I think at this rate, I think it's just an American woman that bothers me. And it's not that it's anything wrong. It's just you're not competing at the level that you think you are. And this is what I mean by that. in the 1900s, I should say, right? 18th century. All you had was who was around you. You could physically move to another town, but it wasn't access to so many people. Nowadays, I feel as if people who are dating, this is just my experience, and feel as if I'm competing with the world. So it's not that there's not people who are not dateable. It's not that the dating market is not flourishing. It's that I'm standing in front of somebody, but on their phone, they're looking at someone who's in Dominican Republic. I could bring you to Chipotle. Homeboy saying I could fly you out here for a trip. Make that make sense.
I don't know, because I ain't.
Child, put yourself on Tinder. They'll fly you out.
Oh, no.
I got in the back and forth with my mama. I said, woman, why you chose love? You had a man who had all his money, but you turned him down because you was in love. You the problem. I could have had a Range Rover right now. She ain't understand the assignment. She didn't. But she wanted her resume to heaven to look good.
I mean, I'm supposed to be rich, but you know, it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen.
I don't know. Yeah, question number 19.
Number 19. Do spirituality or religion play any role in your life? Why or why not?
Spiritual, yes. I would not say religious. I'm not a religious person. And it goes back to another deployment. I was partnered with somebody, and that, I mean, my dude was like an evangelist for real. Like he is living life as if Christ himself. And we would have these deep conversations because I'm along the path of I didn't ask to be born. Right. So the path that I'm walking on to everybody else understand is this is the path that I meant to be on. Fate is what I'm walking on. And he was like, well, if you're not serving God, I don't know what I could guarantee you. You know, the good book says, and he's given the context of it. You know, he was a carpenter as well. So when I say walking the path of Jesus himself, he's a carpenter. He don't use profanity. He don't do all of those things. And we got along very well on the outside because me and him was very similar. I mean, he was black. I was white. That was the only difference. But we are very similar in how we conduct ourselves. We both don't smoke. We both don't drink. You won't find us in the circles that would be considered questionable. Right. And I don't know how it happened. We wound up being roommates. And my bad, phone drop. We wound up being roommates. And one of the things that he couldn't wrap his head around was I was telling him, what if we take different paths but end up at the same destination? And what he was saying was, well, if you're not following these guidelines, I don't know where you would end up. Right. And I was like, that's a valid point. But how do you know the journey that I was put on is complementary to yours or not? And so it would be those months in Afghanistan. We having these conversations on top of dodging rockets, as in rocket propelled grenades. But the point was, to me, that was more of a spiritual understanding that the things that I can't make sense of is proof of God. So I'm going to let that be for a higher power. Right. His philosophy is, are people walking the path that was prescribed to them through the Bible?
There are so many versions of the Bible and.
Correct.
We honestly don't even have the full book.
Yeah, but the context was he did what he believed the same way I did what I believe. So my ignorance is me walking out on faith. His leaning not on his own understanding is his principles prescribed to him by his faith. And so we got along well, but it wasn't that we disagreed with each other. It's I understand how you could reach that conclusion. But what I'm saying is just because I don't walk in your footsteps doesn't mean I would be less likely or more likely to end up at the same destination as you. It's not for either of us to say, ultimately. Now, what I do believe in, the person who would be bothered with me once we are married, she's going to be very spiritual. Most likely religious as well. But it'll be one of those I would prefer for her to be very spiritual or religious because she will be able to see the things that I can't. So if I'm a logically based person or I'm very systematic in my processes and how I operate, it would be something that she say, "Bae, that don't feel like right. I can't put my finger on it, but I don't agree with that. I'm not comfortable with that." To me, that's a spiritual form of watch yourself. Don't get beside yourself, you know? And I think that would be a great balance of how we go about stuff. Because if you can't give me a spreadsheet and say, this is the reason why, if I can't go on ChatGPT and say, what's the reason why, I don't think I will make as much progress compared to somebody saying, it's my faith that makes me conduct myself in this way compared to being so open to all these other experiences that seem more fitting for the flesh and not fitting for the spiritual guide.
Which we could be feeding our spirit and not flesh anyway.
Right. Question number 20, please.
If your inner monologue was a book, what genre would you be?
Is that genre? Nonfiction is not a genre, is it?
You think your monologue is nonfiction, though?
It's going to be like some type of self-help stuff. My autobiography going to be the fourth book. It's called Just Create Solutions.
We'll be looking out for that one.
Yeah, it's after I just did the second one. Yeah, Why We Should Talk More. The third one will be Tug of War of Opinions. After that third one, then I would do the Just Create Solutions. I already got the outline. But everything I do, I already got an outline for it. But I already have everything that I'm going to talk about and will be important for me in it.
Even though I'm getting to know you now anyway, so. Mm-hmm. We're going on 2 years, guys. 2 years.
Yay. Clap, 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 clap. Why you got balloons in your... Turn them reactions off.
Celebration. Next.
That's why I'm blooming up your nose. Question number 8.
That's crazy. I looked at that question and you said number 8.
Yeah. Well, I got this track over here. For every question that I say, I write down so that way I don't hit the note. You know, I'm a systems person. Don't laugh at me, Greg.
Nothing wrong with that. How long does it take to earn your trust and loyalty?
Windows of opportunity. I don't have a set time frame or day. Some of the best people I've had experiences with would probably be like military schools. And the crazy part is, you know, we just here for a couple of weeks or when I reclassed, right? You just spend a couple of weeks with people and, you know, chances are you might not see each other again. But those tend to be the best experiences. And I think it's because it's not you having to worry about what would they take with them, as in you won't have to worry about it coming back up. I don't go to bars, but I said one of these days I want to go to a bar and just talk to a drunk person. That's probably like the best form of therapy, because when they wake up, they'll be like, man, last night was crazy. But I could go home and be like, I ain't got to worry about all this getting back to somebody. Windows of opportunity. You said build trust and loyalty. The person who can't remember the vulnerable conversation that both of y'all had, he is loyal to the cause. That sounds like I took advantage of somebody. Next question. No diddy. Question number 6.
How would you like people to experience you, or does it depend on the person?
Oh, how would I like for people to experience me? Not walking in my shoes, but being somebody who can bear witness to what I did or what I'm doing. Like from a third party perspective, I think that is the best way. Like you can read my thoughts, but you're not in my body.
Oh, so, like I'll be finishing your sentences and you tell me to get out.
What was the second part of that question? Please.
Or does it depend on the person?
Ooh, I would be scared, legit scared, if somebody who I was like married to really was able to know everything. And what I mean by that, it's going to be some days that I despise her. I already know that's going to happen. But that's not going to be as prevalent as the days where I'm like, I'm thankful that you was patient with me. I don't look at the parts of the marriage in particular. I don't look at it as we're going to have great experiences. I don't care about those. I care about the times that when we have turbulence, the times that where I'm aggravated, but I'm going to still cook you a meal and slide you that plate to say, I still don't want to talk to you. You know, it'd be stuff like that that I already have in my mind. Like, whoo, I'm ready for the disagreements during marriage. I think it's to the point where I'm a horrible dater, as in I don't like doing the dates because I like to think as if I'm already prepared for marriage in and of itself. Like when you look at some other cultures, like they have the arranged marriage, like they're married, but they learn about each other while they're married. I said, man, I think some people should experience that here in America.
Some cultures, not all. Not all.
People who broke, don't we marry people who got money? Y'all about to mess up the whole dynamic. For real. Question number four.
What's your favorite thing about engaging in intellectual conversations with others?
I like people who could like expose the things that I didn't think about. Somebody could say, I see how you got to that conclusion, but did you think about it this way? To have like that pivot. And it's not about a right or wrong. It's just about oh snap, I ain't even look at it that way.
A different mindset.
Right. So to give that perspective, as well as someone who is able to say, I don't understand how you got to that conclusion, but it sounds like an interesting way of you getting to that. You know, the destination itself sometimes is not as important than the journey that somebody was taking to reach that conclusion. So being able to pick apart the likes with the dislikes, but to put that in the form of a narrative where both parties can share that open dialogue, I think that is a very insightful and uplifting way of things. For me in particular, it's like I'm trying to learn how to find more ways to compliment people, even if what they did was stupid. Find a way to compliment their confidence for being that stupid. I'm working on it.
What's the most unconventional thing that can attract you to someone? Listen up, ladies.
The most unconventional thing? Someone who could be honest enough to say, I don't care about none of this, but I know you have a passion for it, so I'll bear witness to this. And so the aspect of someone who does... That comes with the mindset of someone who don't need to be with me, but chose to be with me. I think that is the most beautiful experience ever because there's no question with their dependence. There's no question with their loyalty. You know, it's not a short sidebar. There's someone who I was giving a consultation to, like telling them how they could best take care of themselves. And the thing that they kept coming back to is, I don't wish to be in this relationship, but right now it's convenient, so I'm going to stay in it. And that burned me. And it's just like, if you know you're renting someone's love, if you were a part-time lover, okay? Even Stevie Wonder could see that ain't going to last, right? So when you put that in context, it's just like, why is it like that? Now, when you look at the modern day society, when caring for someone became something that was free, because back then there was a high threshold in terms of you have to prove your worthiness. You have to convince the parents that you are serious about this. Or when you take it back to like medieval times, people who are marrying were for political reasons. We're going to join houses. You got all the cows. We got all the steel. We trying to put this grill together to cook some meat. So I think it makes sense for us to marry each other. So my daughter and your son would do great. That's what that was. And now in today's society, it's the total opposite. There's some things that I had to learn the hard way. I used to think once I'm talking to somebody, that means I can't talk to nobody else. Right. That's me using my logic instead of understanding that when you activate somebody's emotions, it's not that simple. Right. So having the knowledge now that I wish I knew then, it's not you being a player because you're talking to people. If you are courting someone for marriage, that's not just a responsibility for you to talk to one person about. Like, we're not wolves. We're not flamingos. You don't say this is one person and for the rest of my life, I have to be with this one person. The transition, well, things get lost in transition is people are not comfortable with each other, but they don't wish to be alone. So the people who are comfortable with being by themselves have nothing to lose if they're interacting with other people because they have already made peace with who they are as an individual. That's not prioritizing society nearly as much as get the bag, get the person. You have to know the assignment, you know? And so through those things, they're trying to balance you being loyal to yourself and who you are as an individual, prioritizing your needs, comparing that with, you know, once you get older, things ain't gonna work how it used to. Right. So people are prioritizing what feels good now at the expense of companionship later on in life. So the cost of being associated with someone now is not just because of what you feel for them now. It's because later on in life, that's that form of companionship. When you go to a store and you see the man wearing a purse and the woman going around shopping, that's a true marriage. That's a true testament to how long they've been to each other. There's people who have been married for a long time, but they don't sleep in the same room with each other. No, but when we talk about companionship, they're together because they care for each other, not because they want to satisfy a need or emotion for each other. It takes time to get to that level of comfort with each other, right? They're upset with each other, but they still sleep in the same bed. They're upset with each other, but I'm going to the store. Do you need anything? Those are the type of things that I think is more valuable. But that doesn't translate well with monetary things. That doesn't translate well with other families not giving those two people being together the level of hierarchy and respect it should deserve. Because someone would marry this person and say, I have faith in this person. They're working on themselves. They could be great. But it's the family who say, you could have done better. I don't know why you chose that person. That's a downgrade for you. You know, Tyrone was a good man, but you chose Jimmy. That's your problem. Tyrone's still single. It ain't too late to drop Jimmy. So they want Jimmy to be what Tyrone was for them because that gave them that sense of comfort. And it's like, you could always compare me to somebody else, but you will always see a different result because I'm not that person. And I compare that same thing with somebody that you caught in a relationship. So the things that worked well or didn't work well in previous relationships is what they indirectly compare with the person who they are with now. So that it's not just conversations and have a good time. It's like there's so much more to this. But to be transparent and honest up front scares people right away. You're too demanding. You asking for too much. Wait, hold on. I just wanted Cheesesteak Factory. I didn't want all this.
Bro, who don't
cheesesteak? Cheesecake Factory, not cheesesteak. So when you look at those things, it's like, I'm not here to waste your time. For me, in the biggest make or break that I tell everybody, if we're going to have a disagreement in 6 months, I'm trying to figure out how I can have a disagreement in 6 weeks. I want to be the opposite. I want to know all the disagreements that we would have up front, because once we get past all that, everything else is downhill. What typically happens is, let me be the best version of myself. Let me do this. Let me hide a few imperfections. Let me hide a few insecurities. And hopefully within time, they would love me enough to overlook the things that I held from them. For me, let me tell you something. I'm the most annoying person you'll probably meet. I know I'm a lot to deal with. I live with me. OK, but if you could get around that 20% of I'm probably going to ignore the hell out of you, it's going to be 80% of I'm glad I stayed with you.
Or left on red.
Question number 14. Please. Left on red has saved a lot of situations.
All my red receipts not on.
Do you mind? That's a song.
I know.
Question number 14.
I'm just trying to get the new year.
Get a little closer to number 14, please.
And there you have it, folks. Another episode. If you made it this far, thank you for listening. If anyone wished to be a guest, please feel free to let us know. New episodes are released every other Friday. For more information, visit jcsupport.org. J as in just, C as in contribute, the word support.org. Check the description for details.